You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I think also for me, I think one of the things that I learned from it is that when I'm at a point that I'm uncomfortable, I start feeling uncomfortable, that's when I go, okay, don't run. Just stop and sit with it.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing a craft beer. I hope you've been having a killer week. I most certainly have been. I am beyond stoked because in less than a month, I am going to be in Winnipeg for Ninja Cat Productions Presents Vox and Hops Brutal Winnipeg. That's right, the first edition of Brutal Winnipeg is coming up on February 18th at Park Theater and features performances by Despised Icon, Wake, Hopscotch Battle Scars, and Murder Capital. All night long, you'll be able to enjoy killer brews from Sukrum's Brewing and Kilter Brewing. I am beyond stoked to be in Winnipeg on February 18th for Vox and Hops Brutal Winnipeg. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. There's someone in your life that just loves craft beer, you know, that home brewer friend, you should let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You can tell them that there are over 390 episodes where I hang out with some of the world's best metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music, and of course, talk about craft beer. If you would encourage one of your home brewing friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I'm very stoked to bring back the Vox and Hops Metal Brewer Talks, and it features a conversation with Timothy Zydek of Tool Brewing from Denmark. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 390.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm very stoked to be with Tim Zydek of Tool Brewing from Denmark. Tim. It's been a long time. We've been talking, trying to get this this conversation happening, having beer sent from Denmark to Canada legally. It's been an adventure, a six-month adventure, which sometimes happens, but I'm very stoked that you reached out to me back on July 15th, back in 2022, asking me, you know, which I get a lot of messages like this, and sometimes I say yes, and this is definitely a yes because you are a metal brewer, and it has been far too long that I have conducted an interview with a metal brewer. Metal Brewer Talks people, they're back. I started doing those back in 2019, I believe, and I've done a few, but not enough of them. I love doing them. I love metal brewers. I love brewers. I love metal. Obviously, I love metal brewers. Tim, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Definitely still being new to Denmark. I've only been here for 6 months. I'm still adjusting to the nice dark winters.
Yeah, it's a big difference because Denmark is much more northern. That's why.
Yeah.
The latitudes. Am I saying that right? It's the latitudes or longitudes?
I think it's the latitudes. I could be wrong.
The latitudes are much, much higher. And if, for people that don't know, the sun sets very, very early. Here in Canada right now, it's setting about, which is going to date this episode if you can figure it out. It sets around 4:40 in the afternoon in Montreal at this point. Denmark, you were saying it sets around 4:30.
Yeah.
Complete darkness.
Complete darkness. And the sun won't come up until about 8:30.
Wow. Okay, that's not like here now. That's crazy. The most extreme thing that I've done when I played Iceland was one of those moments where you hang out. It was in May. We played the show and then we like hung out after, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you come out and it's pitch bright, like as if it's daytime. Super strange. And then a second time that happened to me was in St. Petersburg, Russia. We played a gig with Aborted there. Came outside. It was 11:30 at night. Super bright, weird experiences. It messes with your brain when the daylight doesn't correspond with your experience.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I during the summer, like, I love it. Like, I'll start hanging out with friends around noon or so, and we'll just keep drinking, and then I'll look at the time, and then I'll be like, oh, it's 10 o'clock and I've been drinking since noon. Great. Like,
so it has its ups and downs, which is a good thing.
Totally.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives and music while sharing a craft beer. Now I have 5 beers in front of me right now. I'm excited to try some of this Tuul beers, these Danish beers. I've definitely have enjoyed Danish beers in the past with Mikkeller, obviously. What is that beer? Oh, I meant to write it down. I think it's called Bru, B-R-U, but the U has a strange little thing over it. In Copenhagen. Me, Christian Donaldson, Dominic Grimau went there before a gig when we were playing in Copenhagen on our last European tour with Ingested. Mm. That was sick. So I am familiar with how high quality the Danish craft beer scene is. So what are you drinking on your side that we will be sharing virtually today?
Right now I'm drinking the 45 Days Organic Pilsner. So we have this little thing with a lot of our lagers where we lager our beers for 45 days in these large World War II era like lagering tanks that we have.
Very sick.
And it's quite incredible. And we actually like take the 45 day idea and do it with any kind of lager that we can. So like we'll do, you know, like 45 days of darkness or like 45 days of Vienna, 45 days Marzen, like all these other things. So it's pretty rad.
Very sick. And I know I am a little bit well versed in beer making, but I am not an expert. And this is something that I do not know the answer to. And I imagine people that are listening are also asking this question. Is 45 days more longer than usual? What is a typical lagering process?
I would say 45 days is pretty standard. It's pretty short. Like if you want to go full on traditional lagering, you can go 2, 3, 4 months.
Wow. That's a commitment. Having the space.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, I mean, you can, you know, it really depends on how you take care of the beer and what you do with it. That really determines if, you know, like what the end product is going to be after X amount of days. I mean, of course, with lagers, it's like standard rule. The longer, the better. You can't argue with that.
Amazing. And I think that it stems down to people that do it for, let's say, much, much longer, as you were mentioning. They probably only make that beer. So all of their fermenters are filled with this one. They make that lager. This is their beer. So they probably just have different fermenters fermenting at different paces, so they're constantly getting a refreshed version of the beer, whereas the modern craft beer industry is all about variety and switching things up and trying to be ahead of the curve. So to sit 4 months a beer in a tank is a difficult commitment.
It is.
Especially if it doesn't work out and you have to dump it, which is not fun at all. This beer has been calling my name since when I received the list from the government, because I had to go talk to the government to get this beer. It's called Shit-Faced, which is great, but it's spelled C-H-I-T-Faced. It's awesome. I love it. India Pale Ale, 7.2, I believe, if my brain, 7.5%. Talk to me about this beer. It's super metal. First off, it's got like the barbed wire wrapped around.
No, it looks like just a bunch of garbage and barbed wire wrapped around it, actually, you know what, I think this is what it is. This is and now that I see it, it's actually like the picture of what we call Tuul City, where the brewery is. It's just a it was an old ketchup factory that they took over. So I think this is a picture from somewhere around Tuul City that they just kind of used for the beer.
Sick. So I'm going to crack this. Success. And pour it out. And I would love, as I'm doing that, to hear about your very first beer.
Oh, my very first beer. I was probably in middle school. I remember I was sitting with my dad. We were just watching TV. I think it's probably Judge Judy or some shit, and he's drinking a bottle of Red Dog, and it's just this really just shitty American lager, and he's like, hey, do you want to try this? I was like, all right, cool. He gives me a sip of it, and he was like, all right, that's enough, because I just want you to taste this, so that when you get older, you're not gonna go crazy. I was like, all right. but then of course, it wasn't until I started working and hanging out at a beer bar in New York City that really kind of like turned my mind onto beer. So
amazing. This cheers to Judge Judy. Not many people know this about me, but I you know, I do a lot of shit, and to relax, you know what I do? I watch fucking Judge Judy, and I really do on YouTube. It's a guilty pleasure, and I totally do that all the time. Cheers. This pours out gorgeous.
Yeah, like full bodied, like it. I would consider it more like a double IPA, because it's just a higher ABV, and for it just being fuller body. I think we use specifically chit malt. That's why we call it chit faced. Chit malt to give it a lot more body and a lot more haze. So that's what we went with.
Fan-fucking-tastic. It's delicious. Really, really enjoying it. Let's dig into a brewer story. So you taste that Red Dog shitty beer from your dad. He doesn't want you to become super involved in beer. You're in New York at a beer bar, and that's when you discovered that beer could be something a little bit more. At what point did beer become like a lifestyle and you started working in the industry? I would love to hear your brewer's story, please.
So my previous career, I was a fine dining cook, and then being really? In New York, yeah, I was a cook for 10 years. And so I was so hanging stressful. Out there. Oh, yeah.
Horrible lifestyle.
it was the whole thing. I was super young, and just the whole thing of like, well, you know, the more abuse I get, the more stuff I take, I'll make it to a higher, higher level.
Horrible.
Yeah. But I was hanging out at this beer bar called Proletaria in the East Village, and I became friends with everyone over there. They started having me taste all these beers, and I went for sour beer, and I was like, whoa, I've never tasted a sour beer before. What the hell is this? And then one day, my buddy who was the bar manager there at the time, he's like, hey, I need someone to pick up a shift. Do you want to do that? And I was like, all right, I can work one day a week. And so I was just thrown right in. It was on a Saturday. My first day was a Saturday.
The pressure because of being a cook.
Exactly. And then also nice thing, all he had to do was pour beer and schmooze about beer to people. And it was only 12 taps. So it was like, wasn't much. It was more of a, I enjoyed the interaction with the customers and being able to talk to them about the beers, and just kind of, since it was a small like shotgun bar, like 10 seats at the bar, really, really small, I had to almost like put on a show for everyone. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I moved to Portland, and eventually I just got sick of the culinary world and started working in beer bars around Portland. So that's where I fully kind of just jumped into it. And then my first brewery job was a brewery called Little Beast Brewing. So that's kind of where it all started. So now I'm here in Denmark working for Toll.
How did that come together? A whole relocating across the globe, basically, not just across country, but a completely across your country and then across an ocean to the dark Denmark.
A few years ago, I got dual citizenship through my parents, through the EU. And both my brother and I were like, ever since we got that, we're like, we need to leave the U.S. We just want to go somewhere else. And I didn't have a job here yet, but I just got to the point where I was like, I just need to just go. So I bought it. I remember loving Denmark, and I was like, cool. So I bought a ticket with no job. I'm like, I'll just travel around and see where I land. Then a couple months prior to actually moving here, I saw a job opening for Toll. I applied and they're like, oh, you're coming? I was like, yeah, I'll be there in like a month and a half. They're like, all right, cool, we'll wait. And I just moved and they asked me, like, when can you start? I was like, I just need 1 week just to kind of get my bearings and then I'll start working. So I was only here for a week before actually getting into everything.
Fantastic. Day to day, what do you do at Tool?
I'm a production brewer. So I do a lot of cellar work. Just finished learning the nice fancy brew house. It's a large brew house. Like I'm more comfortable with like smaller breweries and more like hands-on stuff. This is like halfway in between like physical stuff to like, oh, you just do stuff on the computer and touch buttons. And but right now, I mean, like, we are a pretty tight team, and we're all kind of taking on little projects around the brewery. Like right now, I'm starting to take on more of the tasting and education role throughout the company. And even just kind of like going over our beers and kind of like looking over to see like, all right, how can we improve these? Do we like them? What do we, it's this constant growth thing that we're doing right now. But Yeah, I hear like everyone at the brewery is like pretty involved to do like any job at the brewery, which is nice. So everyone's almost kind of cross trained.
It is a massive brewery, and it gets distributed into the States. Even I've never seen it up here in Canada, but I have seen people from the Vox and Hops Thirsty Thursday gang, Jerry Monk, finding some in Texas as an example. So it's a big brewery, as you're saying. So let's say. A typical batch is like how many liters, how many cans, what is a typical batch for Tool?
A single batch is probably about 70 to 75 hectoliters.
Okay, so that's massive, yeah.
Yeah, and we have tanks that can hold single batches, double batches, and quadruple batches.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So the ketchup factory, Tool, do you know any of the history of Tool before they were in the ketchup factory? Were they somewhere else?
So Tool was almost kind of one of those like wandering breweries for a little bit.
Okay. Because they had no brew house, but they had like an identity and they were contract brewing in different places.
Exactly. They were contracting out of De Proof in Belgium.
Okay.
For like
really?
The last. Yeah. So they were just doing everything out of there for the past, like, maybe 10 years.
Really? Okay, that's super interesting. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But they're a Danish brewery, but they're doing it in Belgium. We can, mm-hmm. You know, you can learn a lot in Belgium with beer, right? So,
I mean, they're kind of the ones who wrote the book.
Absolutely. That's fucking sick. I like that very much. Let's just dance away a little bit. No, before we do that, the education side of it. So when you're saying that you're educating the staff, or you're educating people that are coming to the brewery, brewery tours, or what side of the education do you mean by that?
More of the staff, like sales people, just even people in the office, because we do weekly sensory training, so everyone can pitch in and kind of be like, hey, like this, what are you tasting? You know, tell us, what is this? So I'm trying to take that and kind of expand it even more. You kind of go like, okay, because usually people say, oh, it tastes citrus. And I'll take the next step and ask them, all right, what kind of citrus are you tasting in this?
Yes. Because it's the easiest answer, citrus.
Yeah. Yeah, citrus.
There's a little citrusy, this shit face there is a little citrusy. I'm getting bubble gum. Does that make sense? I'm getting like bubble gum from this.
It's, oh, yeah.
It's really fucking good.
What kind of bubblegum are you tasting, Matt?
Not Hubba Bubba, but how can I explain it? Like a citrusy bubblegum. Definitely like apricots, nice. Too, let's say.
That's great.
It's really good. Really good. Very happy. Very happy right now. Very happy, Tim. Let's dance into the soundtrack of your youth when you're growing up in your parents or guardians' house. What music was playing when you were not in control of the music? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Oh, I grew up with ELO and ABBA. At first, being very, very young, I was like, oh, Mom, Dad, like, your music sucks. I can't, like, why are you playing this shit? And then with them being also, like, immigrants from Poland, I had to deal with a lot of, like, Polish techno stuff and disco and everything. I mean, now I fully appreciate, but back then I was like, that's shit. But now I'm like, wow, like I fucking love ELO and I love ABBA.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. There'd be no Ghost without ABBA. I say that all the time.
Exactly. but then, you know, like I always think about this of how I got into metal. I keep thinking like, There were certain things I was getting into growing up that was somewhat like the, I guess we would call like darker aspects of things that I just found fascinating. I didn't know it at the time, but now I look back on it, I was like, huh. And then I think my very first metal CD that I purchased, it was the Matrix soundtrack.
Oh yeah, I had that. Yeah, yeah. Who was on that?
Rob Zombie, Ministry.
Manson, I think, was on it. No.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I think that's why I bought it, I think. I think that makes sense. Or I got it for Christmas or something like that because, yeah. Rob Zombie, Ministry, Manson. Who else was on that?
Rammstein was on there.
Oh, shit. Yes. I guess Rage. Because Rage was at the end of the...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the ending song there, when he jumps up into the air, there is a Rage song. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you buy that CD, and then what was your parents' reaction to that?
They were kind of not keen on it, but I tried to just keep it under wraps. Like I was like, yeah, this is fine. And then over time, like I would go to Poland and go hang out with my mom and her friends. And like one of their daughters who was into metal at the time, she was like, you need to check out Cradle of Filth. You need to check out Slipknot. And I was like, all right. Like, so I did. And then kind of just like took off from there. And yeah, it just over time, I just kind of just listened to people. And I'm just like, what are you into? What's going on? What's this? Like, and for me in high school, like I was definitely in like, you know, the new wave of like, you know, hardcore, go, you know, super into like Every Time I Die and harder Under Oath, As I Die, all that shit. Like, but then I remember in high school, this was the year when Once Was Not came out. And Cryptopsy did a tour through San Diego, and I was just like, Mom, Dad, I want to go. And they're like, who are you seeing? I'm like, oh, this band from Canada.
They're super nice. The singer eats worms. Did they let you go?
Oh, yeah, they did.
No way. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like, I remember being super excited to see Lord Worm. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, Worm is the man. So cool. He's exactly what you'd expect him to be. He's, I don't know if you've spoken to him afterwards, but he's exactly what you expect him to be. Always in character. It's amazing.
I listened to the episode you did with him. I was like, yep, that sounds like him. But like,
it's unbelievable.
But it was really funny. I remember being like super stoked watching Flo play. And like being a small, like a very small, like easily intimidated, like high schooler, I went into the bathroom and at the urinals was both Flo and Lord Worm. And I was like,
the superhumans,
yeah,
also have to pee. But
but I was just like, oh, don't mind me, I'll just go use the stall.
That's so funny. That's like the one time I ever had a chance to have a chat with Devin Townsend was in a bathroom, and I didn't talk to him. I was like, this is weird. I'm not going to talk to Devin Townsend right now.
Right. Right. Well, like, what was it? When I was bartending at Little Beast, one day Chito Moreno came in and just said, yeah. And I was just like, I was 99% sure, but I was like, you know what? Like, whatever. I'm not going to talk to him. He's coming in to have a drink. You know, I want him to come back. I don't want him to come in and be like, oh shit, I don't want to come back.
Punishers.
Yeah. But then he paid out and I was like, holy shit, that was fucking Chino Moreno.
That's so cool. I definitely would have said hi. He's a white whale for the podcast. I always say Mike Patton and stuff like that, but Chino would be a great one because he actually really does like craft beer.
Really?
So, well, Deftones have done a bunch of collabs with Belching Beaver, right? And I think that he has a lot to do with that. Definitely. Yeah. So I'm hearing all these cities throughout this conversation, and I can't keep track of where you're from. So parents are Polish.
Yes.
Grew up, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Maybe San Diego, because the earliest story that I've heard so far was San Diego. And then you cooked in New York, and then you ended up in Portland.
Yep.
Am I figuring this out?
Yes. Yeah, it was like San Diego to New York, and I also lived in Boston for 6 months. Yeah. So I've kind of been jumping around, but Portland was the longest place I've lived in outside my hometown of San Diego. And that was like for 7 years before coming here to Denmark. Well,
San Diego is a killer craft beer scene, obviously, with, you know, countless amazing breweries, countless, I know them all, but they're not coming to my head right now. Countless amazing breweries. Portland, has one of the most metal breweries that I've been wanting to have a conversation with since I probably started this, but I never landed them as of yet. Obviously I'm talking about Wayfinder. How important was being a metalhead and craft beer? We're dancing into the metal and beer topic. Why does metal and beer go so well together? You know, there's countless metal breweries that exist. There's more and more that keep opening. Is that a good thing? I think yes. Other people have said different. You know, Three Floyds are the OGs. There's a bunch right here in Montreal. There's Mutaïd, which is just a killer metal, stoner metal, doom, True Brewing inspired tap house. Here in Montreal, there's True Brewing, obviously. From Denver, shout out to Zach Coleman, my bud there, Vox and Ops alumni. Talk to me about metal and beer. Why does it make sense for you? What I know for myself why it makes sense, but what in your mind, why does metal and beer go so well together?
For me, I feel like it's one of the things that kind of that's like the one drink that most metalheads can kind of just like, well, you're at a show, what are you drinking? More, you're drinking beer.
We can't agree on bands or styles, but we can agree on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, sure. If you like, I could get into like, yeah, there are probably some like, you know, metal breweries are like, to me that might be a little cheesy to a degree. But the thing is, ultimately, it's like, you know, it's just people just coming in, hanging out, drinking beer. If you want to listen to metal, drink beer, fine, great. Like, there's, like, I don't know, like, for me, it's too much of a mental burden to have to, like, think about, like, oh, man, this is, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, we can't be having, you can't be playing Slipknot and Wayfinder. It's like, come on, like, just let it happen. Who gives a shit?
How about Tool? Are they metal? Are you the most metal person there? I know that Denmark loves metal music. There's Copenhagen, which you should most definitely go to if you're not planning to go to that. That's coming up this summer there. Just one of the best festivals out there. Is Tool a metal brewery, or are you the only metalhead there?
It is not a metal brewery. I would say I'm probably there are a couple metalheads there, but I think I'm probably the most eclectic one, because like, even some of my metalhead coworkers, I'll tell them about some black metal bands to me are just normal, but they're like, huh? And I'm like, okay, never mind. I'll just keep it on my side. I still love sharing music with others, and especially for like-minded people. I'm like, hey, if you like this, you should check out this band, and then vice versa. That's probably one of my favorite things you could do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very similar with beer, obviously, which is another reason why they go so well together. Is sharing music with people is very similar to what I just experienced right now, having this in my hand thanks to this conversation and being like, holy Christ, this is good. I wish I had another one. I do, and I'm so happy. but absolutely, it's an amazing thing, the gift of having a similar passion and then sharing that passion with other people and finding like these hidden gems that you love and then sharing it with someone. That's very metal and beer for me. Both of those subjects, those two things ring true. Absolutely.
Oh, totally. Like even a buddy of mine, Sam, he's a brewer in Portland. He has like a little side. He has his own personal brewery project that he's doing, called Brewhouse Brewing. And it's just the dark stouts and pastry stouts and stuff, but like just like the image of everything, I'm like, dude, like you're getting like full on like black metal, like gnarly images, which is great and fantastic. So like I love to see it. I love people, especially being able to take the two passions together and kind of be like, all right, let's make this one thing.
Absolutely. And you did mention that some of it can be a little bit cheesy, but if the beers are good, like that's like level number one, right? If you're going to start a metal brewery, do it, but make sure that, you know how to make good beer first, because just making the metal part of it very strong and having weak beer part of it, it's not going to work. It's got to stand on the beer side of things. So do your homework and make good beer, people, and then you can start a metal brewery.
Yeah, exactly.
So you started behind the bar. Did you start brewing at Little Beast too?
I did. Yeah, that was my first brewing job. I started working there with the hopes of getting into the brewery at some point, and then COVID happened, and I was maybe off for a month, and then I get a call, and he's like, "Hey, you want to work at the brewery?" I'm like, "Yes, I've been waiting for quite some time now."
Do you want to stay in your house and do nothing, or do you want to come? Do you want to come make beer because everyone's buying everything? Well, that's a little silver lining, golden gift of the pandemic right there.
It was. Even for me, like, I know it wasn't for everyone, but for me, I would say the pandemic is a little slice. It was a little thing of like, it was more of like a good thing that happened to me So I was able to do a lot of changes and kind of it pushed me into the direction that I'm in now. So I'm not complaining.
So you're the only metalhead basically at Tool. But do you have a Brewers playlist? Like when you're working, is there something that you listen to that it changes all the time, right? It depends what's coming out. But what are you listening to right now while you're working, let's say?
It's been pretty mellow at the brewery right now, but I've been listening to this folk artist. His band's called Of the Wand and the Moon.
Ooh, I don't know that.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, like neo-folk stuff. The guy's from Denmark. I actually just saw him play here on Wednesday, and it was utterly magical. And Of Wand and the Moon was one of those bands that like I used to listen to, I forgot about, and then it kind of just went back to it, and I was just like, holy shit, I forgot how much I love these guys.
And then they came through Denmark.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird how that happens sometimes?
That was fantastic. I'm not complaining. But then also for me, like, you know, like I'll normally play, like I'll still play music, but I'll play like middle-ish music, but other ones that everyone else can actually like still kind of enjoy or be around. Like sometimes like I'll keep it pretty generic, but I'll, you know, there'll be like Rammstein, Rob Zombie, Type O Negative, like just like more like upbeat stuff that I'm just like, all right, cool, we're working, we're going. And that's what I'll just roll with.
Good for you. Good. Keep spreading it. They'll eventually might, you know, they'll get infected and they will.
Exactly.
They'll be like, this stuff is good, but is there something more, Tim? Can you show us something else? I love collabs. I've made 60 of them, I think, in the past 3 years. It's something that excites me. I love creating stuff and putting my logo on it. If you could make a collab with any band, what band would that be? What style of beer would you make, and what would you call it?
Ooh, shit. I'll do a collab with the band Kraft from Sweden. Wonderful black metal band, but they and the style I would do, I think I would do a Rauch beer, a smoked lager.
Yes,
because I feel like they're very underrated.
They are. I feel the brewers are trying to make them happen here in Montreal. There's a few more on the market than there used to be, especially during the summer and during like the Oktoberfest season. People are really pushing it. They're trying. And then they're like, fine, I'll make a fucking IPA for you. And you want a smoothie? So I get it. Yeah. But I feel like they're coming. Yeah.
Yeah. I just went to a brewery over here called Oben, and they have a rock beer on tap. I was like, I'll have one of those, and it was fucking delicious. And I was like, yeah, like a lot of friends like, oh, it tastes like salami. I'm like, okay, you're not wrong.
Like, that's what my wife says. Yeah, that's why I won't buy them and bring them. Well, I'll buy them and I'll drink them in the house, but I typically share a beer with Jessica. But she says it tastes like, what did she say? It tastes like bacon, I think is what she says. Or hot dogs is what she says. Hot dogs. Yeah.
But what kind of hot dog are we talking about?
I'm vegan, so it's not a good thing. But Mutaid made a very good Grazer, if I'm saying that correctly, which is also a lightly smoked light lager, 3% light smoked lager, yeah, which I had 2 weeks ago with some friends from Mexico City. Nayeli, Jerry, shout out if you're listening to this. Very stoked to have had you here. Members of the Vox and Hops Thirsty Thursday group visited from Mexico City, coming up here to Mes de Mal in November, and I hung out with them at Mutaid, and I drank that exactly. I'm going to switch beers because why not? Let's go big. Something that I've never had. Something interesting. This is a wacky beer, right? This is an Imperial Black India Pale Ale with coffee. See, I can't have this at night, so let's have it now.
Yeah, yeah, the black malts and body salts. That's what it's called.
I want to make a collab exactly this style. It's so fucking cool. I've never seen anything like this. Everyone's like, "Don't black IPAs don't sell," but then you do an Imperial with coffee.
We actually just did one called. Here, I'm doing one called Black Ball, B-A-A-L, and it was just, like, super earthy, but really drinkable and delicious. I was like, holy shit, like, this one actually turned out to be very, very, very good. I was really happy with it. And we're actually, like, we're starting to roll out some more, like, darker beers. And I think we're doing, like, a set of dark beers for January, and we're calling it, like, Blackout January. So there's going to be this huge, so we're going to have this, like, huge party here at our at our brewpub Bruce here in Copenhagen, and it's just gonna be just like dark beers all day. Like,
amazing. What happened? Spell out Bruce. Maybe that's exactly what I was talking about before.
B-R-U-S.
That's it. That's the place. That's the place I went to. So cool. Cheers to you. Moving on to an Imperial Black IPA with coffee. Never had this before. Coffee smooth, but the hops are there. You got that like bitter nose there. Mm.
That's probably just super smooth though.
Dude, considering it's 10%, the bitter wipes out the alcohol. It's very, 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 very cool. This is very good. Black malts and body salts, people. Dude, very, very good. Heavier subject, and I have like an extra thing added to it because of your history. Mental health. What do you do when you're not feeling well? What is your tactic to help pull you out of the weeds when you feel like you're spiraling out of control?
One thing, I first remind myself that it's okay to like stop and just take a moment and to lay in bed and not move. I can do that. I'm like, it's okay, you're fine. Just like, I allow myself to have that, because like here I get 3-day weekends, so there's usually one day. Yeah, there's one day where I don't leave my place. I will lay in bed and not do anything.
I'm jealous.
but also I think ultimately what I'll do is that I'll still cook, because now since I don't do it professionally anymore, I'll do it at home more often, and I find that to be very, 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 very therapeutic. But then usually for the most part, I mean, I kind of just sit down, kind of like talk myself through with whatever I'm feeling, and I actually just sit with it and kind of try to understand it, like where it's coming from. Like, because I'll have these like internal like thoughts about it and internal dialogue with myself and go, all right, where's this coming from? Why am I feeling this way? Blah 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 blah. And then I'll kind of work it, and then I'll work it through, and eventually it'll just kind of just roll off my shoulder. It's just me. I just need like my 5 minutes to figure it out.
Well, it's good that you confront it though, rather than. Pack it away and then ignore it. That's important, the fact that you confront the issue.
Oh, and yeah, I mean, like, I learned it after going to therapy for like 4 or 5 years.
Your love of cooking, take me through that, the way that you love brewing and love beer. I love to cook as well, so I see the similarities between cooking and making beer. What is your cooking journey? When did you discover the love of cooking? And let's build into the next subject there.
With cooking, like, I used to I started when I was a little kid with my grandparents. Like, I'd be making sausages with my grandpa. Like, he'd be just sitting there just grinding the meat by hand, and he would season it, and then I won't forget it. He takes his two fingers after it's seasoned, pulls up like the sausage meat and just puts it in my mouth. He's like, you need to try this. I was like, okay. Like, just completely raw. You know, just kind of just like with my parents cooking, my grandparents, you know, like my grandpa smoking eels and such. Grew up with yeah.
Is that like a Polish thing? Is that the sausage, I understand, but smoked eels, I don't know. Is that a Polish tradition?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's pretty like, there's a lot of smoked fish in general. Like any fish that they could find to smoke, they'll do it.
You smoke the beers, they smoke the fish.
Exactly. Ooh. Oh man. Make a smoked, Russian port, like Russian Imperial Porter, what was smoked fish, and call it, you know, a gulag or something like that. that's an idea.
You can write that down. So you discovered cooking from your grandparents, from your parents. You became a professional chef. We spoke a little bit about the pressures of that. The more you suffer, the higher you'll climb. It's an insidious scene that it's extremely toxic. A lot of coping mechanisms get set into place after that, of overindulgence in alcohol and substances. I imagine that you stepping away, and you mentioned that therapy, it is all tied into that, you deciding you no longer wanted to be a part of that world and then moving away to take care of yourself. Because it's brutal. I have friends in the scene and I know what it's like. So it's brutal. So talk to me about that moment of when you realized that you needed for your own mental health to step away from being a cook.
I remember it was one early morning. I was prepping and I was getting... Like, I was getting talked to about something I did wrong. And this is like hours before we even opened, all the time. And so I was just super stressed. I was like, I had to do like 5 sauces from scratch. I was just like, I'm in the weeds. Like, I just got in, but I'm already in the weeds. And I noticed, I think I was having a panic attack. I noticed that like that my vision started blurring on the sides. And it was just slowly just kind of closing in. And I had to like stop for a second and be like, what the hell is going on? So it was then that I realized, I was like, I need to get out. I need to stop. I need to change. Like, cause this is, if I keep going down this way, it's not going to be any good for anyone. So I put in my notice and I moved to Portland for that restaurant to help open up that restaurant. And I was 6 months in and I was like, I can't, I'm done. I'm out. And then I just took a moment to sit at home for a little bit. I didn't understand what I was feeling. That's the thing. I couldn't put a name to it. I didn't know what was going on. So that's when I saw a therapist. And luckily, the first person that I called ended up becoming my therapist. So I was with her for 5 years.
Wow. Don't be afraid, people. It's an excellent message. You have to ask for help when you're not feeling well. You know, it's okay not to know what's going on.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, and I even still tell people, I was like, you know, like finding a therapist is not the easiest thing. It's kind of like buying a car. You have to try a few out before, before you find one. But I was just fortunate enough to find one like right off the bat. But it's not like that all the time.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
Thank you for being so open about that. And if you didn't go, and it's like life paths, right? It's like, you need to go through all of these things in order to be where you are. Because had you not gone, moved to Portland to start this restaurant, you would have never ended up at Little Beasts. And then you would have probably never ended up working at Tool in Denmark, having a chat with me right now. It's the choices that we make and the things that happen to us that build us. And I think that's very interesting. I think that the divergent paths that we can take in our life is never ending. And we just have to appreciate where we are, despite the struggles that we've been through.
Totally. And I've been very vocal about these things, only because, again, it just, to you talk about it more, make it more of a normal subject,
yes,
it's going to become a regular thing.
It is a normal subject. We are vulnerable. We are humans. We are not perfect. We love fucking extreme metal. We like 10% beers at 1 p.m. We are tough as fucking hell, but we're also vulnerable and we are not perfect. And we're capable of expressing that and knowing when we need help. I'm so lucky that I have my wife, Jessica. She's my rock. She keeps me leveled. I can only imagine the person I'd be if I hadn't done that divergent path of my life, if I had not secured her as my partner for life.
Right. Oh yeah. I totally believe it. And yeah, it's quite amazing. I mean, I think one of the things that I learned from it is that when I'm at a point that I'm uncomfortable, I start feeling uncomfortable, that's when I go, okay, don't run. Just stop and sit with it. And then I was able to, you know, I was able to kind of go through that uncomfortable growth and kind of figure out what direction I kind of want to go.
Absolutely.
So if you're uncomfortable, do your best to sit with it. Don't run from it.
Yes, because it means that there's an opportunity to enhance yourself if you're uncomfortable. It means being uncomfortable means that you're ready to grow. That I think that's it. Because if you're too comfortable in anything, it's too easy. And life exactly. shouldn't be easy, sadly. It's sort of the way it is, sadly. A new segment that I'm pulling in, 2023 is the year of Fight the Hops. I would love to hear about the motivation for yourself, something that you are trying to improve, something that you want to make better about yourself. I'm calling it the Fight the Hops movement. What about yourself are you working on currently right now that you hope to strive to make better throughout 2023?
Being more empathetic towards other people and being able to mentally pause at situations that might frustrate me, and actually being able to sit and kind of like try to put myself in the other mentally actually put myself in the other person's shoes. Like, okay, like, sure, I might be pissed off at you or whatever it might be, but okay, like, let me take a moment and let me try to figure out where you might be standing or what you might be feeling. And I feel like having that empathy and sympathy towards other people is extremely important. Like, that's what gets people to talk more, to open up more, to be more communicative. Like, you need to have that somewhat of an understanding, or at least try, because I feel like a lot of people, if they see you attempting to try to understand them, they'll be a lot more open to help you understand what they're trying to say, I guess.
Absolutely. This really works well, like, in like face-to-face human interactions. I feel like nowadays in the world of social media, people that don't agree with other people don't even try to empathize. It has blocked them and pushed them away. And they surround themselves with like-minded people. And I think that's a big issue with our world today. And then people don't know how to interact with people that are not like-minded in the real world. So good for you. I like that Fight the Hops goal. Be more empathetic, more role-playing. Role-playing would help. Like when you stop and you confront your issues when you're not feeling well about something, you could do the same thing and stop and confront this feeling that you have towards someone that you need to be more empathetic towards.
Right. And, whether it be, a decision someone made, I mean, like, you never know. They could have had to make a certain decision because of certain things, certain aspects or that you don't know about. Like, you have to be more like, if I guess now the whole talk is everyone saying, be gentle with yourself, be gentle with yourself. All right, good.
But gentle also with others too, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, we're not all on our best days.
Yeah, totally.
You never know when someone's having a shitty day. You never know what happened in someone else's life. So it's I like that goal. I like it. I'm gonna mirror that myself in my life, because I tend to be tough on people too. You've traveled all over. You've been everywhere. Have you ever been to Montreal?
I have, actually.
Really? Talk to me about that story. Yeah.
I was in culinary school. This is in 2008. My friends, this is down in Poughkeepsie, New York. So it's like about a 5-hour drive away from Montreal. Some friends were like, oh, hey, we're turning 20 or something like that. Like, you can drink in Montreal when you're 19, 20?
18.
Like 18. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was someone's birthday. There was a total of 9 or 10 of us. So we decided to drive up. And we rented a hotel room, and somehow we snuck everyone in.
Shh, don't do that, people. Do it.
It was like on the floor, on the couch, on the beds. Like, everyone was just intermingled. It was pretty funny. Like, it was a very good time. I had a lot of fun. Although it was 2008. It was quite a long time ago, so I don't remember too much. But I remember going to bars and be able to sit down and be like, oh my God, I could order a beer.
Hell yes. That's one thing that we did right. Yeah.
But I remember loving Montreal. I thought it was fantastic, and I definitely want to go back and, you know, check it out again and actually do it properly and not just some not a bunch of 18-year-olds just trying to get drunk.
Well, if you do come back to Montreal, I'll definitely take you around. I'll take you to all my favorite haunts, the best craft beers in town. We're very, very blessed here. It's an excellent, excellent craft beer city and metal city, obviously. One last question, classic Vox and Hops wrap-up question. It probably doesn't happen to you very often, but it might because, you know, you're doing that quality control you were talking about. You're doing the educational things, the Centurion thing that you were talking about. You know, you said that you lie in bed one day a week, so maybe it happens to you on that day. Every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Oh, definitely, I go down to the 7-Eleven and get a slice of pizza, for sure, and just lots of water, and maybe an apple. Like, that's what I do, and then I just kind of, I try. It's because the hangovers, like, they are what they are. I try to avoid them at the most by drinking as much water as I can throughout the night, but usually in the morning I just lay in bed, have some snacks, and really just don't do anything. Just take a shower.
Fantastic. The apple threw me off. I'd never heard that one.
Oh, it's great.
Tim, thank you so much for hanging out with me, talking about your life, music, talking about being a metal brewer. It makes me so goddamn happy to connect with other metalheads that are in the craft beer industry. It's brought you across the globe. I think that's so fucking cool. Thank you for introducing me into the wonderful process of getting beer legally into Canada. It was cool. I'm very stoked to have learned that experience thanks to you. I've really enjoyed these two.
Awesome.
I'll share the rest of this with Jessica. This was great. Tim, thank you so much. Massive cheers.
Oh, thank you. Cheers. No, I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an amazing conversation. I had no idea of the journey that Timothy had been on in his life, the amount that he's moved, his career switch, his openness about mental health was just beautiful. There's nothing to be ashamed of, people. Said it during the episode, and I'll say it again here right now. If you're not feeling well, seek out help. There is help out there that can make you feel better. So no shame. Ask for the help that you need and find the resources because they are out there for you and you can feel better. Massive cheers to Timothy for hanging out with me and just being awesome. Cannot wait to hang out face to face and share a brew with you, my friend. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. When you do that, you shall receive one email a week where you shall hear about everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You will get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will get to see about any projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public, and I have a massive one in the works right now. You will also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed, and you will get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. There is always a whole bunch of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and I hate when you miss a single thing, so sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer weekend. I'll be back next week with one episode with Andrew King Thorpe, the author of Failure Rules and the owner of Thorpe Records. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.